ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नस्तप्रयेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवताम की जय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 6, Text Number 22. Sakrid Yad, is that right? 23, pardon me. Sat Sevaya Dirgayapi Jata Mayi Dridha Mati Hitvavadyam Imam Lokam Ganta Maj Janatam Asi Satsevaya Dirgayapi Yapi Jatamai Dridhamati Hitvavadyam Imang Lokang Gantamaj Janatamasi Satsevaya Dirgayapi Yayapi Jatamayi Dridhamati Hitva Vadyam Imang Lokam Gantamaj Janatamasi Satsevaya Dirgayapi Sat Sevaya Dirgayapi Jata Mayi Dridhamati Hitva Vajam Imang Lokam Ganta Maj Janatamasi. Please chant. Satsevaya Dirghayapi Jatamayi Dridhamati Hitvavajam Imang Lokam Gantama Janatamasi. Satsevaya Dirghayapi Chatamayi Dridhamati Hitvavam Lokam Gantama Janatamasi. Satsevaya Dirgayapi Chatamayi Dridhamati Hitvadvaryam lokam Gantama Janatamasi. sasevaya dikhayapi chatamai dvidhamati iman lokam kantama janatamasi sasevaya dikhayapi Jata mai dudamati Hidvadvayam imam lokam Gantama janatamasi
Matajis
Yasevaya dirgayayapi Jata mai dudamati Hidvavadiyam lokam Gantama janatamasi Satsevaya By service of the Absolute Truth Adhir Gaya For some days Api Even Jata Having attained Mayi unto me Dvidha firm Mati intelligence Hitva having given up Avadyam deplorable Imam this Lokam material worlds Ganta Going to Ma Janatam, my associates, Asi, become. Translation. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate. In the transcendental world, after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. Please repeat. By service of the Absolute Truth, even for a few days, a devotee attains firm and fixed intelligence in me. Consequently, he goes on to become my associate. In the transcendental world, after giving up the present deplorable material worlds. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Serving the Absolute Truth means rendering service unto the Absolute Personality of Godhead. Under the directions of the bona fide spiritual master, who is a transparent medium between the Lord and the neophyte devotee. The neophyte devotee has no ability to approach the Absolute Personality of Godhead by the strength of his present imperfect material senses. And therefore, under the direction of the spiritual master, he is trained in transcendental service of the Lord. And by such training, even for some days, the neophyte devotee gets intelligence in such transcendental service, which leads him ultimately to get free from perpetual inhabitation in the material worlds, and to be promoted to the transcendental world to become one of the liberated associates of the Lord in the kingdom of God. Om Agyana Timirandasyam Tanyanjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militang Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare So this morning I learned that one of our dear Prabhupada disciples has passed from the world, from this deplorable material world, and I'm sure he's on his way back home, back to Godhead. Is this good? Okay. So the Premadava Das, he was, when I joined the Hare Krishna movement back in 1973, he was stationed in Hawaii, came over with Pragosh, another devotee named Chaitanya Das, Sudama Maharaj. There was a whole crew. I believe they all used to be here in L.A. one time. There's two other boys like Kadamba Kanana, like Rupa Manohar, all these big, powerful Vaishnavas. So they all came to Hawaii, and Premadava was there. And I had just reading Bhagavad Gita, just finished reading Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, and I went down to Waikiki, where the devotees have their Harinam, and to join the movement. And when I went there, there was Premadava and all these devotees that were doing this, doing the Harinam. And I have these fond memories of Premadava when he would do his Harinam kirtan. I mean, the way he would dance, I mean, in public, you know, it was like a Hollywood production. You know, he was so, you know, talented at singing. You know, his voice, booming voice. He had that, you know, he had this look that was, you know, transcendental. That's all I can say. He was amazing. When I first joined, I went there and I was watching this kirtan party, and I got into, when they were done, I got into the van and, you know, never came back to the deplorable material world after that. I've been in the movement ever since. And so Premadava was always always like, you know, such a great preacher. You know, I mean, it's such a strong, determined, convinced person, you know, dedicated to Prabhupada's mission. And I heard that he distributed books to the very end, to the, you know, as amazing devotee. But he would always preach to me, he was always very kind to me, because I was so ignorant, so foolish. But he was always very kind and very encouraging. I remember once when I introduced him to my mother, took him to my house there in Hawaii and introduced him to my mother. And my mother, she was also very impressed with Premadava. But anyway, I hadn't seen him for many, many years. He left Hawaii, and so we lost a great soldier in this mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So if we can all just say one time Hare Krishna mantra for Premadava Das on his way home. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So continuing with this pastime of Narada and his meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it's very interesting. When Gopakumara went back to Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu informed him that, you know, that he's obligated to reciprocate, you know, the affection that his devotee, you know, reposes on him. And he says he's obligated in order to support that, so that affection does not wane, it does not become swallowed up by, you know, by the material energy. So he says like that, that he. So here in this case with Narada, the Lord is reciprocating with Narada's affection, you know, by appearing before him, giving Narada the amazing Krishna's association must be. I don't know, but Krishna, from what we understand from Shastra, Krishna's association must be amazing. I believe Prabhupada made one reference when the Lord appeared to Dhruva. Now, Dhruva was wanting a kingdom greater than that of his grandfather. But then I believe Prabhupada states that while asking for a kingdom greater than that of his grandfather, Dhruva realized that he was asking for like broken pieces of glass. You can imagine Brahma's kingdom. You know, Brahma Loka must be amazing. And Dhruva did gain a kingdom greater than that of Brahma. He gained the pole star, the Dhruva Loka. But Dhruva, being, you know, instructed by Narada Muni, this 5-year-old boy who at this point is, you know, getting the audience of the Supreme Lord, and Dhruva also being instructed by the great sage Narada, achieved the audience of the personality of Godhead. So also we know of Narada Muni instructing Prahlad Maharaj. And let me go back to this. Shouldn't have lost this page. Prahlad was instructed by Narada while he was in the womb of his mother. And in this verse it states that when one gets such instructions, let me see if I can find that again. Excuse me one moment. Text 23. Here we go. So when he, Prabhupada states that under the guidance of the spiritual master, one engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master. So by under that guidance and engaging for only a few days, like Dhruva, I believe in 6 months, he was perfected enough, had enough affection for the Lord that the Lord came to him. You know, and the so under the guidance of the spiritual, one gets firm and fixed intelligence on the Supreme Lord. So the Narada Muni, he's known for delivering living entities from this. You know, we know the story of Mrigari the hunter, the sons of Daksha, the Hariashvas. He gave, you know, an allegorical story. King Puranjan, he also instructed an allegorical story, which was similar to what Narada instructed the sons of Daksha. So the in that sixth canto, the duties for mankind, he instructed the sons of the Hariashvas, you know, similar to the instructions that are here that Prabhupada is giving in the purport, that he told them that they have not seen the extremities of the earth, and that there is a kingdom where there is only one man who lives there, and where there is a hole from which, having entered, one never emerges. There's a woman there who is extremely unchaste, adorns herself with various attractive dresses, and the man who lives there is her husband. In that kingdom there is a river that flows in both directions. A wonderful place made of 25 elements, a wonderful home made of 25 elements, a swan that vibrates various sounds, and an automatically revolving object made of sharp razors and thunderbolts. So an allegorical story. Does anyone understand that allegory? The Haryashvas, they were very, very, very good boys, very, very intelligent. And so Narada continues saying that your father is omniscient, but you don't know his actual order. So how can you go and how can you make progeny if you don't understand your father's actual order? So when he was speaking, the Haryashvas, they're very keen. They could understand it. When he was speaking of the earth, speaking about the field of activities, this body. Krishna explained this in Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. The field of activity is this body. He explained to King Prachinabarhi, Narada Muni was explaining this, you know, the city of nine gates, you know, the field of this body with five knowledge acquiring senses, five objects of the senses, five working senses, five knowledge acquiring senses, and the engagement of these senses with the objects of the senses. So this is the field of activity which creates so many false designations. And these false designations causes a foolish living entity to engage in temporary fruitive activities, and these different designations of this body, it roots one in material bondage. So this false material designation, sarvopadi vinirmuktam tat paratvena nirmalam. One has to be nirmalam, completely cleansed of these bodily designations. I am doctor, I am lawyer, I am man, I am woman, I am, you know, the so many designations. I am so many. So one has to become nirmalam, completely cleansed of these material designations in order to begin to understand what his transcendental position is, what is the relation with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this, Narada Muni described there was a kingdom where there was only one male. You know, who is that male? So the Supreme Lord, Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchirananda Vigraha Nadi Radi Govinda. It's Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam, the only male in the kingdom. And then outside of the kingdom, there is a hole by which one enters into this material world and he cannot get out unless one takes shelter of the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. So then beyond the hole, within that place, there is a prostitute, an unchaste woman. In the allegory of Puranja, Narada Muni describes a woman also, the wife of Puranja. And this wife is the intelligence of Puranjan. So similarly, in this allegory, the prostitute, the woman, is the unsteady intelligence who adorns herself in various dresses. And in Paranjan is described when the intelligence, when his wife would eat, he would sit and eat. When she would rest, he would rest. When, you know, it's just so much we are entangled with our intelligence. And we have so many memories. You know, intelligence means memories. Intelligence means discriminating. You know, we develop so many, how they say, so many, as Narada Muni says, so many dresses we have. And we have, you know, so many memories that we, you know, we adapt to. We put all of our affection into, or our, if you have no affection, if your affection is completely covered over, you develop into like a desire and hatred. You know, you get so covered over. And then according to our desire, hate, and our these so-called affections, we become illusioned. So, you know, we illusion ourselves in this, and, you know, get ourselves captured within this material world. But there is a, so in this material world, a river, a swift river, it is described that this river, on the banks of this river, the current is very strong. So once you get stuck in the middle of this river, it's very hard to get to the banks and to get out. So that river is that flowing both ways is the creation and annihilation of this material world. I mean, it's either you coming in, created, and accept another body, more material designations, more polluted motor passion, intelligence, and, you know, once again, you come in, and then you get pulled out by, you know, everything's destroyed, and, you know, life after life, kalpa after kalpa, millions and millions of births back and forth in this river of creation and annihilation. But in this place, there is a swan. And a swan, I would think like a Paramahansa, or I think of that one song that took me forever to learn it, find the words and learn it. Finally, the Google and the YouTube, they can get Srila Prabhupada and the words, the translations, you know. The song, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Panjarantam Ajayava Vishatame Manasaraja Hamsa Prana Prana Samaye Kapavita Pito Kantava Roda Navido Smaranam Kutaste. I mean, love that song. So anyway, the swan, the swan of the mind entering into the stem of the lotus feet, you know, he wants to die immediately, because I'll be at the time of death, if I get too old, I'll be completely overwhelmed by kapha vita pito, you know, the mucus, bile, and air will overwhelm. I'll be messed up, won't be able to speak, I'll be choking up. And so while I'm in a healthy state of mind, you know, let my mind enter into the stem, let me give up my body now. So that swan, that's one example of swan. And also we think of the Paramahansas, who are swan-like personalities, who not like crows in the garbage, in the dump, you know, the crows gathering, talking all nonsense and filthy place. But the swans who swim in beautiful lakes and, you know, with the lotus flowers and so forth. But this swan here is described in Narada Muni's allegory as the Shastra. The Shastra that has all of these various vibrations that liberate one from this material world and from the forces of time. So it's recommended that one study these forces of time, as Narada Muni explains to King Puranjan or King Prachinabarhi about Puranjan at the end of his life. Then the forces of time start. Death comes and fear, and Kalakanya and Baya fear. And so death comes for everyone. This is the Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that, you know, that is death. You know, I am time, the destroyer of worlds. So, you know, so we must understand that the forces of time is everyone has to take birth, grow old, die, suffer some disease. This is the unrelenting forces of time. It's described as very sharp razor blades and very forceful thunderbolts. You know, so time, no one can escape these forces of time unless he takes shelter of the real order from the Father. So they mention, Narada Muni says, your Father is omniscient, but you don't know his actual order. So how will you create progeny? So the Father's order, the order of the material Father, who endeavors to engage his son in material activities, are not the real instructions of the Father. The real instructions of the Father is the Shastra, the scripture. So the Shastra is considered, he was telling the Ashras that your real Father is the Shastra. Not Daksha, who is telling you to, you know, get married, you have children, propagate the universe. But the real Father is the Shastra. So in Bhagavad Gita, there's that one verse, Ya Shastra Vidhi Mutsrija Vartate Kamakarta, that you, if you disregard the Shastra and act according to your own whims, I mean, this intelligence, we have so many memories of different things that are, that bring so-called enjoyment. So many. I mean, you know, like myself, I have lots of memories of devotees. These are good memories, you know, engaging in service and watching others engage in service, having, developing memorable respect for different devotees who have engaged in steady devotional service. Those are good. But we have many other memories. You know, I was talking with Svavas the other day, you know, being out in the ocean in Hawaii, the good weather, you know, the birthplace, your friends, family, country, you know, the being out at Honolulu Bay with just me and my friends surfing, you know, 15, 18 foot waves, and, you know, all these memories. I mean, even still in my memory, I still see myself, you know, slicing up a wave somewhere. And it's like very dangerous, because I would say, you know, this intelligence, this mode of passion intelligence can, you know, give you these bodily designation. I can enjoy. I'm the enjoyer. Even when I went to visit Hawaii last February, where did I go? Just, I even made a surfboard in the Pujari room that I had destroyed in Denver, you know, made a board, took it to Hawaii, going to go catch some waves. And I think, you know, it's, these designations are very difficult to cleanse, to wash, you know. So like that, the real Father, you know, we cannot act according to our whims. Of course, Prabhupada did say surfing is good exercise. Another place he says, if you spend your whole time surfing and not to cultivate Krishna consciousness. Actually, I was there when Prabhupada gave that lecture in Hawaii. He says, if you go surfing, you'll definitely take your birth as fish. But I heard in the lecture that if you spend your whole time surfing and not cultivate Krishna consciousness, you'll take birth as fish. So right after that morning lecture, I went, because we were on the morning walk on Magic Island. Prabhupada was talking, and someone asked Prabhupada, are those boys out there going to take birth as fish? And Prabhupada said, yes. And I was watching, because, you know, you got all the big guys around Prabhupada. I'm on the outside, you know, walking along, you know, trying to keep up, trying to hear something. But the whole time, I, you know, like an unchaste woman, you know, you got one man in your hand, You got one man in the corner of your eye, and you got another one in the heart. You know, so like I'm here, like the corner of my eye, I'm looking at the waves, watching the big 6, 7, 8 foot waves. Anything over 8 feet there would close out, not so good for riding. Even the boats can't get out the channel there. So I'm thinking all these things while the lecture is going on. So that day I went, and Kailash Chandra was living at my house with me, and he goes, hey, you heard what Prabhupada said, why are you going surfing? You know, you're going to take birth as fish. You know, and then I said, well, Prabhupada said if you spend your whole time surfing and not cultivate Krishna consciousness, you'll take birth as a fish. Then I went later back to look at that lecture. You know, they have all those lectures recorded. I went to, I could never find that part if you, where if you, you know, not cultivate Krishna consciousness. There was, it wasn't in the lecture, but somewhere or other I heard that. I don't know. I guess mystic Prabhupada being merciful on me too. Not to forget Krishna. So like the shastra, that shastra, the instructions of which, you know, bona fide disciplic succession is Svavas was reading this morning, that, you know, not mental speculative philosophies, you know, or philosophers or the guru, you know, that it's those, you know, those disciplic succession that comes from Brahma who give the message of the shastra as it is. That's the real guru. So cannot become guru. So if anyone who disregards yat shastra vidhi mutsrija, disregarding scriptural injunctions and acting according to his own whims, they attain no happiness, they don't attain peace, and they don't attain the, you know, the supreme transcendental destination. That's the, so we shouldn't, you know, it's the, we should be very afraid not to adhere to these shastric injunctions. We should just follow them very strictly. And in this way, we become successful in a spiritual life. So the spiritual life is, you know, it's bhakti. It's a, you know, it's being, reposing your affection in Krishna. You know, we chant Hare Krishna every day, but don't just be mental about it. You know, put your affectionate attention into the holy name. You chant affectionately, you affectionately, you never become tired. Prabhupada always say that. You never become tired chanting Hare Krishna. But the only way you don't become tired is if you chant affectionately. You can't just be a blank, void, impersonal, empty, or void. It has to, the affection has to be there. That's who we are. That's what we're made of. That's the constitution of the soul. Ananda. You know, if you love something, it makes you feel very happy. A very simple understanding. You know, if I go to Hawaii and I see the waves, I love the waves so much, it makes me feel so happy. But that happiness is not going to last because sometimes you get hurt out there. You know, one time I was surfing at the pipeline, I got smashed by this wave. The wave drove me down to the bottom. I mean, I felt my back like bend like a U, and I hit the bottom of the ocean. You know, I mean, it's just rough force, you know. And so where's the happiness in that? You know? So I come up, I go on the beach, you know, my board got broken in half by the wave, and then my friend is bringing two pieces. I said, do I have a cut on my head? The guy goes, are you kidding, man? I can see your brain. You know, and I was like, so I got to go to the hospital. You know, the nurse is asking, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? You know, everything. She comes back in 5 minutes later, what's your name? Where are you from? You know, so this is the result of material world, you know, like, you know, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. You know, there's danger at every step. You know, it can't be like, you know, engage in these foolish fruit of activities and entangle yourself in material intelligence, entangle yourself in bodily designations, or you have to entangle yourself in the pastimes of Krishna. This is good intelligence. Good intelligence means your intelligence is full of the You know, Krishna, you know, these guys are watching the Super Bowl in New Orleans, actually the playoff games in New Orleans. The Saints are playing I can't remember who they were playing, the Eagles or somebody, or Vikings or something, you know. And the game was so close, and then right at the last few seconds of the game, New Orleans loses, and what does the guy do? You know, he's so happy his team is winning. They got the lead and everything. The game's over, and they lose in the last sentence. What does the guy do? He becomes completely wrathful, totally distressed, and punches his TV in. Good example of, you know, the turnaround in this material world, how happiness is always followed by distress. It's really foolish to get involved. And you got all these players, you know, they're glorified, they're worshipped. But, you know, they do lose. You know, they do get injured. They do, you know, they have so many problems. They have problems at home, you know, domestic violence or this. So many problems to getting arrested, getting DUIs and this and that, and problems with the law, murders, and, you know. And then you have Krishna. Why not take shelter of Krishna? You know, Krishna never loses. He never gets injured. You know, he's like, and he's never, you know, never has. He's completely transcendental. He's not affected by anything. You ever hear of Krishna losing a battle? Krishna doesn't ever. Do you ever getting injured? You know, it's like, oh, Krishna's out for the game. You know, he can't play today. You know. I mean, there was one time in the where Krishna got a little sick, but he was like suffering from the separation from the residents of Braja. You know, they would come in the room. He would put the blanket over his head, and you know, but not like the. You know, not like in this material world. You know, Krishna is not a loser. So it behooves one to take shelter of this, you know, extremely, you know, beautiful and inconceivable personality. So are there any questions or comments I can... Yes. Please repeat that. I can.
Hare Krishna. If we get Krishna Prem while we are still in this material body, what will happen with our subtle body, all this remembrance from, you know, even previous or this life, material remembrance, all this remembrance will be dissolved or will still remember them?
I've heard that even in your spiritual world, you still have a tinge of the memory of this material world. You know, it's like a bad dream or something. But it's not that, you know, our affection goes away for anything within this world. I mean, you'll develop more affection for it. You know, more respect for it, more respect for Maya. You know, oh Maya, you're a very powerful devotee of the Lord. I should not, you know, deviate from my path because I know that your potencies will bind me again within this material world. I know you have this thankless task that, you know, you become afraid of Maya, you know, but with great respect, knowing that she's a very great devotee, goddess of fortune, expansion of Radharani, so forth. So, but you'll probably gain more respect, you know, because, you know, with the different memories we have and more regard for the relations that we have to be very careful. So, but everything becomes spiritualized. If you develop Karem within your body, your mind, your intelligence, your senses, yeah, primarily everything becomes transcendentalized, spiritualized. Prabhupada says Krishnaized and so forth. Yes, sir.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for a very, very nice presentation, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Regarding Prema Sankirtan's question, everybody's situation is individual. We take Arjuna, we have that as a concrete example. Krishna told him, many, many births you and I have taken, I remember all of them, you don't. So the devotee doesn't necessarily have the kind of memory that Krishna has. You may not even remember your last birth, what to speak of so many other births. But on the other hand, we have the example you spoke of, Gopakumar. He seemed to remember everything that he went through. From the day he left and started a search, went to Puri, went to Vaikuntha, he seemed to remember everything. So, you know, it varies. It varies. Everybody's case is different. You may, because you have a strong desire to remember everything, Krishna may allow you to remember. And other devotees, they don't want to remember, and Krishna doesn't. So, it varies. Krishna is the source of knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So, he may allow you to forget, he may allow you to remember. It's up to him.
Exactly. Any other questions, comments? Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jāi.